May is Military Appreciation Month, celebrating those who are currently serving in the United States military. S&T Bank salutes our military members and wants to thank you for your service. You serve our country. Let S&T Bank serve you with S&T's Armed Forces account featuring no minimum balances or maintenance fees. Plus, free ATMs, checks, and money orders. For more information, stop by a local branch, visit stbank.com, or call 800-325-2265. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go!
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College, the only place where you can hear live coverage of Steelers training camp. And, of course, we have our wall-to-wall coverage of camp here on these very airwaves shows all day long, but this is the only one that's live during practice.
Right.
We're talking about practice.
Was that Robinson that made that tackle?
Yeah.
Really nice play.
Yeah, got to the outside there with Master Teague. That was the first run drill. They've got the looks like the third team out there on both sides of the football here.
Mm-hmm. He can run, though.
Yeah, he moves very well.
Yeah, yeah. When he shoots a gap and he decides to go and he hits it, he hits it quick.
That's kind of cheating there.
Old play action.
Yeah, get 10 yards.
I always think inside runs kind of cheating for the defense, too.
Well, yeah, they know. That's the thing. You're playing run like 90% of what you're doing is playing. The only guys not playing run necessarily are the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And even the safeties are biting up on that stuff.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. The name of the drill is inside run.
It's team run drill. You got to get up there and stop the run.
I think Robinson's destined for the practice squad, but he's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tools there to work with.
He's just raw ability at this point.
Yeah. I mean, so people have mentioned that they like him. You know, they're pretty happy with where he's at right now.
Yeah, he's out there with Buddy Johnson now in this group. Buddy Johnson just attacked the line of scrimmage here.
It was a nice play by 37 there,
yeah,
too.
Buddy Johnson, I think he was in on the tackle there with that. He just kind of went to I'm going to sift through the junk here, get right to the line of scrimmage, and go get the ball carrier.
They could really use him stepping up and having two big preseason games to finish things out.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty nice play there by both guys. So they got some guys here that we'll see. We will see.
Somebody at linebacker besides Miles Jack
needs to step up.
And there's some candidates, but
yeah, I liked what I saw Devin Bush in the backs on backers there.
That was good.
That was promising.
That was good.
He played with some physicality there.
I'm not writing him off like he's got no chance.
And a lot of people have just trade him, cut him now. Do it.
Right.
Come on, people.
Yeah.
All right, now the first team offensive line coming out on the field here.
Yeah, here comes Watt. Here comes.
Yeah. I would imagine this won't be nearly as physical.
Probably not.
That's what they kind of did yesterday.
Right.
Like the third group was out there. The young guys were out there, and they were getting physical with
mm-hmm.
it.
That's close to 100%.
Yeah. This will be much less. Yeah, he's out there with, you know, basically the starting offensive line. It looks like Anthony McFarland's to back, though.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think they want
I think they're pretty happy with him, too.
I think they should be happy with him.
Right,
I agree. He played well. I think he's had a good camp, too.
I think he's had a real good camp.
That might be Jalen Warren.
That's not him.
That's Jalen Warren. He was carrying a football around today.
Because of the fumble,
yeah. Had it tucked high. He was giving some interviews over there, but he came walking up the steps with the football tucked high.
Okay.
And kept it there throughout the course of the interviews that he was doing. That's a problem, you know, for young guys.
It's a nice run, too. I don't know.
That run hard like that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand that at the NFL level, guys will hold you up while somebody else comes in and tries to strip the ball out.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to know when to fold them, too,
yeah.
You know.
You got to do something. You know, you want to try to fight for that extra yard. It might cost you a fumble here and
mm-hmm.
there.
I found it interesting that when they asked Tomlin after the game, you know, what he told you guys was basically, well, He fumbled.
He fumbled.
Yeah. Okay. Not.
That's not okay.
Boy, we're really happy with him. Like, don't get ahead of yourself, youngster. You know, like, don't go giving him any pats on the back quite yet.
But he's intriguing.
Oh, he's going to be part of the mix.
Yeah. There's Najee. They're not going to tackle Najee.
Mm-mm. Just kind of picking his spots and dancing through the up the middle, picking up a few.
Is he wearing the neck pad at the back? He's got something on the back of his
He might
back of his pads or something there. Either that or it's because that's the way that helmet thing
is fastened on or whatever.
Yeah, but it makes it look like he's wearing one of the old style neck pads.
The neck
Natrone means.
Right.
He's as big as Natrone means.
I don't think he has a neck pad. I think that's just the way the beanie thing's gone on his head right now.
I think he could be really, really have a big year this year. If this offensive line continues to run block the way they did the other day.
And I think scheme helps him.
Create some seams for him. He's going to hit those when he gets into the second level.
I'd love to see him, get to the second and third level a little more and see what kind of punishment he can inflict on defensive backs and what kind of burst he can show, because wasn't a lot of those opportunities in his rookie year.
As our colleague Bob Labriola always used to say about Jerome Bettis, in the fourth quarter, nobody wants to tackle the fat kid anymore.
It's pretty tiresome, right?
I got to tackle this guy again. That's why Bill Cowher was so good, in closing those games out like that, because you had a guy like Jerome Bettis who just hurt people in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the team, coach, running back all meshed extremely well. Yeah. And I think this team wants to take a similar approach. I think that they're pretty confident the defense is going to be good. The O-line's going to be a work in progress. Quarterback many days won't be better than the opponent's quarterback, or at least will be a work in progress. So you're going to have to punish teams and, win in the fourth quarter and wear teams down, and I think they're equipped to do so. I have some questions about the line overall, but I do think scheme and the players around the line should help their situation quite a bit. And
scheme is such a big part of it.
Yeah.
How do you scheme things up? And that's what one of the biggest problems was last year. They couldn't do any of that scheme stuff.
Because everybody knew it was coming.
Yeah.
They knew the style player you're going to have. There's a nice hole there for McFarland.
Yeah.
The O-line did his job there.
I'll tell you what, he's looked good in this camp and just hitting the hole quicker. Seeing
way
things
more
better.
Decisive.
Yeah.
He plays like an NFL running back now.
Yeah. Before, I used to liken him to looking like the Tasmanian devil as he would get the ball. Arms and legs flying everywhere, but he wasn't going anywhere.
Nothing happened.
Just spinning in a circle.
Spinning, and making a lot of noise and then getting one-yard gain. Exactly. One-yard gain, Now, he's a different style. If you looked at him versus a year or two ago and he had a different number on, you would
see, this is where he can really, on a pitch like that.
Defense played that well.
Yeah, they did a nice job with that one.
Strung it out and really took away the cutbacks.
But when you can get him out on the edge or get him in space.
Yeah.
I mean, he does have special speed.
He does. And it shows as a receiver as well. I mean, they've targeted him. I guess I haven't brought this up in a while.
He gets matched up on a linebacker. It's over.
It's over.
There's not a linebacker in the league that can run with him.
No. And they target him deep now. You know, they're not little flare passes.
And he's catching
it. Dump offs. He's running routes that are longer developing down the field, 20 yards down the field. And he adjusts the football well. I think McFarland has a role, and he's going to be a spark plug.
Yeah, he's not, again, people, they see a smaller guy, and they automatically think of some, Dree Archer or something like that.
No,
Anthony McFarland
is
about a 195-pound running back.
Yeah.
Dree Archer was 170 pounds, 180 soaking wet.
Like, I don't know McFarland ever would be the every down back if Harris wasn't there.
Right.
I mean, he would be a part-time player. And his lower body and waist aren't super thick or bulky, but I mean he's not a little guy.
No. Yeah, he's just a little guy in this game.
Right. I mean, compared to Najee.
And some of the other guys.
And Durant's a lot thicker, and or not Durant. I'm sorry.
Is this Benny Snell in the backfield now?
Snell
looks like Snell back there now, working with the two. So. Okay,
not a bad run. Yeah,
nice decisive run. One and go.
Yeah, read it well. Stuck his foot in the ground, got north and south there without getting touched. So they were moving some bodies a little bit.
People want him out of town, too. Like, they decide they don't like somebody. Well, you just got to cut him. Get rid of him. This other guy who's never played in a football game before, he's got to be better than that guy.
Rudolph, Bush,
Snell,
they got to go.
Yeah.
I think if I was Snell, I'd be a little more nervous about my job than I was a couple weeks ago, though.
Absolutely. The other guys have played. So now I think that's why we may see him back out here today. You know,
right.
Would he be back out here this quick normally? I don't know. I don't know that for certain.
Was it a coincidence that Claypool comes back after Pickens lights him up? You know, I mean, yeah.
He said today he's had two separate shoulder injuries.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not been just one thing that's been nagging him. It's been
– That's Snell you're talking about?
No, that was Claypool.
Claypool,
yeah.
Okay.
So now we get a special teams period.
By no means was I saying he's being soft or anything.
No,
but it often isn't a coincidence that the guy you're directly fighting with has a really good day. That the dudes that were out show back up. You know.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
Right.
Get a little punt return here, and Gunnar Olszewski, the only guy back there. Are they going to actually punt the football here? It looks like it.
I think they are.
Looks like we're going to try to punt it and down it inside the 20 here.
They're having two gunners find it. But
yep.
The gunners aren't releasing from the line of scrimmage. They're releasing 12 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And they're telling them when to go. The coach yelled at them, go. So I'm not sure why they're not starting at the line of scrimmage, but maybe just a conservative.
Well, there's nobody there on the defensive side of things, too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the same guys would be doing the, you know, so you don't want these guys running 50 yards and then come back and then you have to play defense. And
I think the key here is that they want the gunners to find the football.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it looks to me, well, now we're not. That drill ended pretty quickly here, but it looked like they wanted one gunner to be behind the ball and one in front of. You know, it looked like the left guy there broke down.
Well, again, you're kicking it inside trying to get down it inside the 20 there. So
right. You
want to make sure that if the return man lets it go,
there's somebody there.
There's somebody behind
to keep it out of the end zone, and then the other guy was staying in front of the returner.
Now they're setting up the kick out of the end zone.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, all these different situations.
This is one of the most important plays in football.
Oh, this could go seven the other way in no time.
I mean, we've seen this happen before and cost the Steelers a Super Bowl.
We've had a lot of special teams talk over the last few days, and – you know, those guys are such creatures of habit and expect things to always be the same. But when you don't have quite as much room as a punter, that's very different. And even a long snapper. Like, you can't snap it exactly
and
the same.
You can't take your three. You know,
yeah, you just got to get
it's
it
a
out.
One step
Boy,
and get it out.
That
he
one
killed,
out.
Yeah. That. Oh, man.
Wow.
And he took a great bounce. That ball is going to roll.
Into the end zone. From the other end
zone. Yeah, he just kicked the ball 100 yards.
It landed on the 25. I mean, it was 75 in the air, and he got a favorable bounce.
That was a one-step kick, too.
Yeah, it was not up about halfway in the other end zone from the other back of the goal line. So it was over 100 yards.
That's a big win for the – you get that one coming
out of
there.
That was 85 yards, actually, foot to land plus another roll. Wow.
That's a heck of a kick.
That was a boom.
Yeah, he kicked the snot out of that one.
I mean, even the returner was like,
whoa. You're going to do this again here.
Not as
that
good.
Was not
I mean,
quite as far,
kick,
but that's still a pretty good kick. Yeah, it's caught at the 44 on the other side. So,
yeah, I mean,
pretty
it's a 55
solid
yard punt.
Yeah, you'll take that.
65 air yards.
You can't have the 30 yard punt in those situations. And all too often, that's what you see.
I mean, you're
because they're trying to get it out quick.
Right. You know. Shank it a little easier, you know. But I mean, that gives the other team points.
Yeah, I mean, it that's
so now they're coming out a little further. Still going to be within
Danny,
inside
Danny
the
wants
20.
To see this inside the 20 here. Let's see what the
– situational punting it looks like.
Yeah. He just wants to see the release there. Okay.
Okay. I wasn't sure what he was after there.
Yeah. They'll do that drill every once in a while, too. Have everybody turn their back and then run to the ball.
Find,
go find the football.
Find the football. Work
find
on
the
your
football.
Eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of just like a cluster.
Yeah.
And then where's the ball carrier?
Where's the ball?
Okay, break down. Find it, break down.
The guy's out there. We get 31 out there. 13 is out there. So Lane out there. Boykin out there. So Boykin is back today. Looks like
Warren.
Spillane is out there. Yeah, Warren is out there.
Hayward.
As you always say, Norwood's out there. Buddy Johnson. You always say that the guys who are on the punt coverage team.
The number one punt coverage
number
team
one
is
punt coverage team.
The big-time indicator.
Yeah. And so
you're atop the special teams depth chart, basically.
So the guys that are out there right now, Snell is out there as well. So these are guys that are probably – they're looking at – is probably going to make the team.
I would think. White is out there. I don't know that – I think he's a long shot, but he is a good special teamer.
Yeah. And right now, too, Marcus Allen is usually one of the personal protectors in that situation.
Yeah.
So
he's
still
loss.
Out. As is Killebrew. Looks like Killebrew's in uniform today, but he still doesn't – I still don't know if he's practicing. So.
Mm-hmm.
But they like White.
They do like White.
Yeah.
I think he's a coach's favorite. I just think he's kind of limited and playing in the wrong position right now, too.
Yeah, it's a tough spot.
They must really like Hayward. I mean, he's always on
this
field.
Another good punt.
Boy,
angled it to
boom.
The sideline.
Right. That ended up about on the 25.
Yeah. One of those. Presley Harvin's another one that, fans, you know, just wanted to see gone this year.
Like, they may really change their tone after they watch him punt a little bit more.
Yeah, he kicks the ball. It's got a different sound to it.
Yeah. I mean, that one, they kick these high spirals that just keep climbing and climbing and climbing,
like,
cutting the wind.
It's like clutching a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Another one. Holy another big one. The hang wow. time in that one is, my God.
Wow. Fielded at the 15, and the ball was at the
He kicked
20.
It from about the 10.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, he's had several
just
monster
rockets.
Shots.
Just
yeah.
rockets today.
You're right. It does make a different noise coming off his foot.
Yeah. But he's got to do it in the game. I understand.
No doubt.
You know.
But boy, he's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, the leg strength is not a question. You know, the consistency is the question.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's many punters in the league that can come close to his leg strength.
Here comes another one. He lets it go from the 15 again. No, that was from the 10. I'm sorry. Oh, my God, the hang time
That's
on that.
Really far one. I don't know where
angle
it went
to that
out of bounds.
It'd probably
right.
be about the 30, 35, somewhere in there. But
it's a pretty ball, though. It
no
just
return.
Keeps climbing
yeah.
and spiraling. And, yeah, I mean, obviously right. he was trying to pin him in.
It's like there's helium in the ball.
It just keeps going up and up and up. Right. Especially when he really hits that spiral, right?
Yeah.
It just cuts the wind and just keeps climbing.
Yeah. It's
you can just tell how the returners react, too. You're just like, oh, and it's like an outfielder with the ball gets hit.
They're now
head,
setting
you know?
Up. 50 yards downfield from where he's
wow.
at. They're not messing around anymore. He's not going to kick it over their heads anymore, presumably.
Yeah. You're we'll right. See. Yeah, he can.
There's another one. Another one. Just
yeah,
I mean, this
really
thing's going
high.
up above our tent so we can't see it.
Of course we fair catch.
That ball
it,
was man, that ball was
that's
kicked
not
from,
easy to catch.
That
either.
Ball was from the kick from the 10. It came down at the 15.
I wonder what the hang time on that one was, too. That was high. Wow.
That is tremendous stuff.
Nice period by number six here.
Yeah, he's
killing the ball.
Having himself a day here. And they've all been, I mean, he hasn't hit a bad one.
No. Like, I wonder where that one before this one that went out of bounds would have been marked. I'm sure he didn't want it to go that far out of bounds.
But it's still 40-plus yards with no return.
Well downfield, right. And he was clearly doing that on purpose.
Yeah. So he's a big part of this as well. If he can win the field position battle.
Oh,
get the hidden yardage out of that. That makes a big difference.
If you can make the opponent have to get one more first down against his defense because the punt's better than it was. I mean,
just,
that's
these
a big
are
deal.
These are coming out of your own end. You're flipping the field there too.
Right, right.
You know, you're not hitting just a 40-yarder with no return. He's hitting 50, 55, 60-yarders with no return.
I mean, hypothetically, you get the ball to 20, three and out, things didn't go well, maybe holding
the other team is expected to get the ball 35-ish,
yeah, right.
40, somewhere in there.
And then they get it at their 25.
Yeah, that's a huge flip.
We didn't get the advantage we thought there with
There's
the big defensive
one.
Stop.
Now that one's not as good.
That one's a little uglier.
Yeah. Still got – that not came down bad, at the 35.
Right, I was saying it was still pretty good distance.
Yeah.
Looked a little different than the other ones, though.
Yeah, he didn't hit that one quite as well as he had the other ones. We're going to take another break.
Yeah,
he is
good.
Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to our live coverage here from Steelers training camp at St. Vincent College. We are here until 5 o'clock today. Steelers practicing until about 4:15, 4:10.
Let's see one more before we go.
Okay,
I think this is going to be a boomer.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
You think this is going to – okay. Well. And you are correct.
Good, yeah.
You are correct.
Wow.
Angled that one, too. That came down at about the 17.
Right at the numbers, yeah.
So another really nice punt there by Presley.
Push him into the corner. Yeah. Well
done. Having himself a day.
Again, yeah, hang time.
Yeah. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. The team going a little 11-on-11 here in front of us here with some passing stuff. Again,
Pickett looks sharp.
Yeah, Trubisky taking the first team snaps, Pickett taking second today, and Rudolph taking third. I think that was the plan all along here.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wonder if that's going to become the norm.
Miles Boykin now back this week, or today. He was out yesterday. Benny Snell back out there again as well.
Yeah, good for Snell. He needs to get out
there. He needed to be out there.
Yeah.
So Pickett takes the snap, has a good pocket, gets the ball
gets
out there.
Gets it out quick, yeah.
Yeah, good job by Tyler Snead with that catch.
Decisive.
No, that's Gunnar Olszewski.
That was Gunnar, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Got open quick, nice catch, turns up field.
Hard to believe
he's a no-nonsense guy, man.
Hard to believe he couldn't fit in somewhere in that New England passing game. They didn't have any wide receivers.
Right. Yeah, but he caught like 10 balls.
He had nine catches in his first three seasons, like on a team that was really receiver challenged.
Very receiver challenged, and they always have a place for that type of receiver as well. It's not like every offense stresses it like they do. Who's to say? I don't know.
I mean, I understand. He was a defensive back in college, so I'm sure there was an adjustment here. So the Steelers are getting a much more
actually,
polished
the more you
guy.
Say that, right. I mean, one of the New England, on a tangent here, one of the big problems with New England, and they're kind of been talking about this a lot lately, is Brady, okay, here's my playbook, and then they just add to it every year.
Yeah.
You know, just and before you know it, it looks like New York's phone book or whatever, you know.
There he is again.
Yeah, that's a nice work by Gunnar.
Just gets open.
So historically and over in New England, a lot of receivers, especially young ones, have failed there because it's
that was Tyler Snead.
That was a Snead.
And that was a Rudolph passer. So nice job getting that one out.
But part of the problem isn't drafting the wrong receivers; it's asking them to do too much
right,
in New
yeah.
England. And I don't know if he was a defensive back and hasn't had a lot of experience with receiver and adjusting routes on the fly and things like that. Maybe they just didn't trust him.
Yeah, that could be.
Could be. I mean, it's one of their faults, and they've been talking about trying to simplify things there, too, and even bringing more Shanahan principles and things like that. But
Rudolph in the shotgun, getting ready to take the snapper, motions Tyler Vaughn's in closer to the line. Ooh, good
Ooh.
Rush there.
Yeah, wow. So who was that blitzer?
I don't know, but he got there. I couldn't tell.
40 got ran over, but I couldn't tell who brought the
40 is not a blocker.
No, he really isn't.
Struggles,
He's thin, man.
Yeah.
If you look
he's the thin man.
He is the thin man. I mean, you look at him, when he turns sideways, his body just doesn't have any depth to it. I mean, he's a real thin guy. You know,
he lifts about 195 pounds. He's probably closer
doesn't
to 190.
It. Yeah, it doesn't
I mean, he's
it.
he's a 4'3 guy, the sub 4'3 guy, but – Man, if
he's kind of built like a receiver.
Yeah, if you can't block in this league, you're in trouble.
I mean, people are going to bull rush him every time.
Yeah.
I mean, or at least try. I mean, he's got to prove that he can
stop. Is that Buddy Johnson that got him on that one?
It must have been.
Yeah, I think
it was. I wasn't certain, but I thought that's who
it was.
You want
to see Buddy Johnson run. Yeah, they're both inside backers. Nice job.
Well done.
Yeah.
Get it out quick. White's a tough one, man.
Cody White just makes – all he does is make plays.
I know. I wish he was 5% more talented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just steady Eddie.
He makes it hard to cut. He does everything as – you know, he's a good special teamer. Unbelievable work ethic. I mean, I would love to stash him on the practice squad, and if two guys get hurt, you can use him on game day. But
yeah.
That's kind of the ceiling with him, though.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to – even if you release him and try to get him onto your practice squad, nobody's going to pick him up.
Probably not. I mean, there'll be some tape on him, but he's not special enough to go out of your way and grab him. I mean, the people who are going to like him best are the ones that work with him all the time.
Not to mention his dad works in the scouting department now, so he probably wants to stay.
Yeah, you know. So I bet that's a nice conversation on cut
nice
down
job.
Day.
Nice job by 93 there blowing up that screen.
Really nice play.
Yeah.
Screen took a little while to develop.
It did, and they did suck in the entire defensive line.
They did, but 93
just
ready of it.
Yeah,
right.
Good job by him.
That was well done. McFarland had no shot, but not his fault.
Now they're going to do it at the other end.
Yeah,
coming back towards
around.
Us here.
Changing field position. Don't do as much wear and tear on the field itself.
But the
hasn't been a bad practice. Yesterday, I thought was an exceptional practice.
Yeah.
But this has not been a bad one. I meant to say this earlier. It dawned on me at the break last time. Back to Harvin. What he just did there was pretty amazing. I mean, he was just killing the football.
The fans here actually clapped when
he got done. That's where I'm going with this. It's funny because we both
they
mentioned that
after a punter got done punting.
Yeah.
And we're not in Europe.
Right.
I've seen that before in Europe. I remember when the Steelers went to Barcelona in 93 to practice against the 49ers.
Those soccer folks appreciate it, huh?
So on that field, you had Rod Woodson, you got Jerry Rice, you got Steve Young.
Yeah,
I mean, just Hall of Famers
all
over the place. Dermonti Dawson is there.
Yeah.
And the fans there were watching the kickers kick and cheering every time.
Wow, look how cool that is. Right.
Look at how far he kicked that ball.
I'm sure they've never seen such a thing, you know. They don't realize what Jerry Rice was doing was probably more impressive, but hey, you know. A little rarer. But anyway, back to Harvin. You kind of stole the words out of my mouth. One of us said, you know, he's in the doghouse. Steeler Nation's down on him, yada, yada. Well, I can tell you a couple thousand new fans he has that are running around
Holy
here right
mackerel,
now. Right,
yeah.
They aren't going to be down.
Did you
on
see him kick that ball?
Yeah.
Just tremendous. I mean, that one ball, again, the ball traveled
well
80,
over 100.
80 yards in the air.
80 yards in the air and rolled into the other end zone from the back end zone line that he kicked it from.
I mean, on one step.
On one step, boom, gone, you know.
It was amazing.
Unreal.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the most impressive punting display I think I've ever seen.
Because it was one after another, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the highlight, and that's a rare. That's a Randall Cunningham 90-yarder with a roll type deal. But, you know, for him to do over and over, and I wonder if you ask Danny or, you know, some of the special teams gurus, they might have been like, yeah, but you didn't realize how impressive the 5-second hang time was on the
Oh, yeah.
Some of those hang times
were
unreal.
We weren't clocking. Oh, nice job
that's
on
nice.
Covering there by Freiermuth.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah.
I keep harping on this when I see those patterns. I mean, that's a tight end right between the numbers and the hash. 20 yards on field, 15 yards on
20
field.
20 yards, yeah.
I mean, that's what tight ends do.
We didn't see that last year.
Didn't happen last
year.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
right.
Why he averaged 8.5 yards a catch last year.
Yeah.
He sprinkles a few of those in this year. That
exactly.
Average, you know, I just think everything's going to be deeper this year.
I did, exactly.
The depth of the catches is going to be deeper. That's why when I say
and over the middle.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson might not catch – you know, 107 passes this year,
mm-hmm.
but he still might have 1,100 receiving yards.
Right.
You know, it might be 85 catches, but he's, you know, 1,100 yards.
Deeper patterns and, you know, more over the middle of the field. I mean, a guy like Freiermuth can make a living there.
Yeah. We haven't seen Deontay be real active here. I mean, he's active
today. He hasn't stood out today.
Yeah. He hasn't stood out yet today. Maybe this will be the play. He's down here on the outside with Claypool to the inside in the slot. Trubisky in the shotgun here. Looking that way, there it is.
Yeah,
called it. And just a simple slant.
Yeah, you know. Claypool, you know, takes him deep, clears it out a little bit. He goes right behind him, right off his hip there on that slant, and Trubisky puts him on immediately. There's some run after the catch possibilities. You know, well-designed, well-repped play. I'm
again,
sure
about a 10-yard completion over the middle.
Over the middle.
Over the middle. And I just don't think that the Steelers attacked that part of the field nearly enough the last couple of years.
I mean, like, he probably would have ran a similar route a year ago, but two steps shallower. You know what I mean?
Or the ball wouldn't have been thrown. That's the thing.
You
know, people, you know, I got asked that, well, why didn't the Steelers do that more last year? Well, they had guys running patterns in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback's got to throw it. And, I think sometimes, Roethlisberger was very
good. Just wanted to get it out.
That's where the traffic's at.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're playing against Ben Roethlisberger in those situations, you know, I've said it 1,000 times, like, the opponents knew the ball was coming out quick, so at the snap of the football, you had 10 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Right. Yeah, we had a really good conversation, I guess, last week or the week before about some of these advanced analytics sites, which I really respect, didn't have the Steelers as super loaded boxes. And that just doesn't
pass. Ridiculous
to
me. No, it didn't pass the eye test.
Yeah, it didn't pass it at all. And maybe they don't have anything against Steelers. I mean, I'm sure that their methods say that. But, again, like you said, when the ball was snapped, everyone's going to the same area, which was in the box.
They may have started 8 yards back, but when the ball
possibly
snapped, they're coming.
Right.
Everybody's coming forward.
Everyone's coming forward and playing them much differently, you know. Trust me, they weren't playing the Chiefs the same way if they had the same amount of loaded boxes.
That was a nice job by Devin Bush on that one.
That was. It covered some ground.
Covered some ground, and they get through the ball out to the flat, and he would have had a tackle for a loss there.
I think so, yeah.
So
he hasn't – I know he's in the doghouse, and frankly, he has me worried. I mean, there's no question about that. But I wouldn't say this camp has been a negative for him.
I just
think it's been kind of mediocre. Yeah. It just hasn't shown up huge.
We haven't seen the splash.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw a splash from him his rookie year.
Yeah. Spillane, to me, has shown up negatively.
Yes.
The other linebackers haven't made as much splash, good or bad, as I would have liked, namely Buddy Johnson. He's kind of a ghost, but not necessarily like he's getting exposed. So if Spillane's getting exposed, Jack's been really good. That's probably a sack, of course, but, you know, still good pocket movement by Pickett.
Yeah, even on that play, I just focused on Bush, and it looked to me like he was blitzing, but he kind of had his eyes on the quarterback, so maybe he was spying a little bit in that situation.
Maybe.
And that's something that teams might have to do against the Steelers a little bit this year.
That's probably true. And I was thinking from the other perspective is if you're going to play Deshaun Watson, especially Lamar Jackson.
You better be ready to spy.
I mean, and Bush would be a logical candidate for that. It's not a difficult assignment. He can run with anybody, you know.
It's not a flashy assignment, though,
No,
either.
It's not.
Yeah.
You can't take the cheese. You got to be patient and, you know.
But there again, Robert Spillane's not. You're not spying Lamar Jackson with.
No.
With Robert Spillane.
I mean, he can get him on the ground, but if it turns into a foot race, he's going to lose.
He's going to lose in a bad way.
In a bad way. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater with Devin Bush.
No, I kind of am with Spillane, though.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he's an elite special teamer, which I just think there's a lot of special team options here. I'd rather roll the dice with Buddy or Robinson or somebody that's one of the young guys right now, you know.
But Robinson told me the other day when he was asked about that after the game, you know, he said, Danny Smith's tough to please. I'll bet he is.
Yeah. He's been doing this a long time. He knows what it takes.
If you're
making
mistakes out there on special teams, you're not going to be out there on special teams.
Right. And you got to think, I mean, he's a running back turned linebacker, you know, like, I don't know how much experience he has in that phase.
Yeah, he's out there now with Buddy Johnson. Let's see what this looks like.
Okay. Yeah, need these two to step up. I'm kind of bummed about Ulysses Gilbert. I thought he had a chance to really be an impact guy this year.
I wonder if Spillane got hurt today. We haven't seen a lot of him out there. Maybe he got hurt on the pass rush stuff. I don't see him on the other side.
I'm looking for him on the sidelines. He's not jumping out at
because I haven't seen him out there in the defense at all.
No.
And usually
I don't know if he's been demoted or is he injured?
That could be the case. I don't see him over there with the defensive guys.
It doesn't mean he isn't. I just
We just don't see him.
It's kind of interesting. That's something to examine there.
Yeah.
Let's see what Kenny does here.
Yeah, Pickett in the shotgun. Got Benny Snell to his right down here in the bottom. You got Cody White, I believe, down in the bottom up in the
top. Pickett's making some strides.
Yeah. Gunnar Olszewski in the slot. Looks like Tyler Vaughn on the upside out there, on the outside. Eh, not a great passer.
No. Kind of a crowded neighborhood, too.
Yeah, you don't want to throw into that neighborhood necessarily.
No.
We're going to take another break, Matt. Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. Our live ongoing coverage from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. We will be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College, bringing you all the action as it happens here. And Matt, just a little bit ago, Master Teague carted off and during that team drill session there. Looked like he took a hit. And
I remember the day they signed him, I kind of thought, he bounced around a little bit, kind of a monotone athlete. He's a banger, but nothing great. He was a lot better than that when he was here. I thought he played pretty well in a Steeler uniform. Who knows? Hopefully it's not too severe, but I wanted to give him a little credit for what he's done since he's been here.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. You know, so often is the case in this game, getting through a training camp healthy.
No, man.
Says, you know, is just as important, especially if you're a guy trying to establish yourself. You may have all the talent in the world, and then you get hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
and everybody forgets
brutal,
about you.
And then, boom, you're gone. Especially at that position. There's always going to be running backs coming in the league that are cheap and young and fresh legs. And, you know, you can get forgotten pretty quick. They were just doing a drill. Just want to kind of, you know, spell it out for people. They were working on punt block, and they were doing singular, but it wasn't – What Danny's trying to teach them is hit the ball as it's coming off the foot.
You know,
you're not diving. You're not in the air. They want you to take the football right off
his
foot.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because what happens is if you leave your feet on that play, which you see a lot of guys do, if you miss the football.
It's probably a flag.
It's going to be a flag.
Yeah, and you have no real control. If you are able to take it right off his foot, there's a real good chance you're going to take it the other house, too, and the ball's going the right direction towards your goal line. And
it's no accident the Steelers are pretty good at that.
Yeah, right. And it's not as easy as it looks because it's hard to get your body moving full speed with two hands about 2 feet off the ground together. You know, that's an awkward position. And I guess to no shock, but the guy that looked the best doing it was Killebrew. I mean, he has the most experience, but I don't think of him as a natural bender, get low, being able to accelerate. But he looked really smooth doing it, and he's blocked a punt or two in his career, I have a feeling.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I've been looking everywhere for Robert Splaine. I just don't see him.
He would
out
be
there.
Out there for this stuff.
And yeah, he would certainly be on the field for special team stuff here. Haven't seen him since backs on backers.
And was that the last time?
I know he did a couple of reps there against Najee Harris and backs on backers, and don't recall seeing him since.
No. So another one to keep an eye on. They're getting kind of thin at inside linebacker. I haven't
right,
said a
yeah.
lot of great things about Spillane lately, but, I mean, still, these guys have played a lot of snaps here.
Yeah, so we'll have to find out about that as well, what's going on in that with that situation. But that's the way it goes here. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a battle of attrition here at training camp.
And it's good to keep your eyes out for these things. You know, I'm sure we'll hear about it down the road or, you know, press conference tonight or whatever or some kind of statement. But see how Teague and Spillane are. Did get a lot of guys back lately. You know, some of the star guys are out there. It's nice to see. We went a lot of camp without Deontay, Claypool, Freiermuth, Najee, those
yeah,
type of guys.
The guys that you expect to be the core of the offense.
Yeah, but they're starting to get more and more revved up. And I think Freiermuth's had a good practice. Najee looked good in the backs on backer drills, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good group of skill guys they have.
It really is. And, you know,
young.
I don't know that it's certainly – I don't think it's number one in the league.
No.
In terms of that grouping.
I also don't see a weakness. I mean, of your
but
five,
I don't know
who your bad guy is.
Yeah, it's in the top 10-ish.
Right. Like,
sure.
I think a lot of people look at the Bengals as number one, which, I mean, I probably wouldn't fight you on.
Yeah.
But their tight end wouldn't play here.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't
yeah.
be in the top five.
No.
You know, I mean, Boyd's a good player. He's not great. You know, they have a special combination of receivers, but – it's
and
not
Mixon's,
like,
you know, Mixon's a top.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
Six
right.
or seven back in the league.
Yeah, yeah. But their five isn't star to star. You know, I mean, right. there's some weaknesses there.
Yeah, this group, when you look at it.
Especially if Claypool is what he's capable of.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's the one I have the most questions about of those five.
Like, you know, if teams treat Deontay Johnson as the number one receiver this year, which they did last year.
Right. I mean, history will show that that's how everyone treats him. I mean, you watch any game film last year, everyone treats him as the number one.
At some point, you would think that that's going to shift.
I just like
Pickens'
chances
yeah.
if he gets a lot of one-on-ones.
And then if Deontay Johnson starts getting one-on-ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going to change things dramatically as well. And
they're
know,
different style receivers.
And Claypool gives you some matchup issues, and Freiermuth
yeah.
gives you matchup issues. And
absolutely.
It's an interesting grouping.
Najee's no slouch in the passing game either.
No, absolutely. So they're going to be a difficult team to defend. And then, you know, even if you take – let's say you take Najee Harris off the field and you bring Anthony McFarland in
mm-hmm.
as a receiver. And again, now you've created more matchup
speed
issues.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can go empty and, you know, right. You can go empty with Najee too, of course. But no, I like their options. And, you know, if Freiermuth develops a little more as a blocker, if Claypool becomes a more willing blocker out of the slot, I think you'll get better peripheral skill position blocking than they got last
yeah.
year. You almost
you
have
know
nowhere
Pickens
to go.
Is gonna block.
You know Pickens is going to block.
Yeah.
That's why I was going with that. You know, it was. You kind of knew Ray wasn't.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of nowhere to go but up.
He tried,
of,
but.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, I mean, he's little. And
yeah,
he wasn't
really
going to
block
bad.
Anybody.
Right. And Juju was good at it, but he was on the field a ton, you know?
Yeah, so it's an interesting group this year, and I'm intrigued by what
Connor Hayward's going to be in the field, too.
Yeah, I'm
not sure
intrigued
exactly
by,
how, but he's going to be out
I'm
there.
I'm intrigued by what the possibilities with this offense. I don't know that you need elite, high-level quarterback play. With that grouping.
I'm not that worried about the quarterback play,
to be
very honest with you. I mean, I have high hopes for Pickett, big picture.
Distribute
I think
the football.
Trubisky's a good enough player. It's only getting better. What could derail it to me, though, is the O-line.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're sitting here, you know, after the season going, man, this was a bottom six or seven offense, I think we're going to say – well, they wanted to have longer developing routes but couldn't protect or, you know, like.
But, again, I think so much of that because of the quarterback mobility that they have.
Oh, they have ways of making their life easier.
Yeah.
You're right.
The ability to roll things out and flood a zone, you know, to the right or the left with
mm-hmm.
different at all three levels with, you know, receivers who are going to be a matchup problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, somebody's going to have a much smaller man against him. On him
oh, yeah.
A much slower guy. One of the two.
Yeah. I just think that if the O-line can't be adequate, all that's for nothing. You know,
yeah.
And there's a lot of ways around it, and they've done great things to make that life easier, including an athletic quarterback, scheme, you know, making it more difficult to cover their five dudes. But if – I mean, I'm thinking worst-case scenario. If James Daniels is a bust, which I mean, I'm not predicting that. He just hasn't been good yet. Mason Cole's just a guy in the middle. Kendrick Green can't handle power, and the tackles are just okay. You know, we're going to look at this thing and be like, man, but what if they add two more starters on the O-line in the offseason? You know, like, even if the thing that I just laid out is true and it's a bad group, it might not – I mean, a year from now it might be totally different. They have so many resources. You could have a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and two free agents if you had to. Yeah. And they could easily swing that, you know. So, I mean, we're not talking about 2023. That's not what I'm here to do. But the O-line, if it's a problem, you could easily plug in one guy, two guy if you had to next year. But we'll see where it goes this year.
What you just laid out, I think, is one of the reasons why you signed Deontay Johnson to the extension.
Yeah, right. You're just killing needs.
You now don't have an absolute need at wide receiver going into next season.
No, absolutely not. Especially if Austin plays pretty well.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and even Miller could be coming back. You know, guys like that that you don't get anything from this year.
Yeah. So you don't have to spend a second or third round pick next year on a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, well, you just use a second round pick every year on a wide receiver. Sounds great in theory.
But that means you're not.
That means you're not getting something else in a premium draft spot.
I mean, this is probably a way too optimistic way of looking at it. But I mean, they don't have a ton of free agents after the year. I don't see a ton of massive team needs. I mean, like, I can live with these corners. I mean, you could bring Ogunjobi back. You know, I think Loudermilk's going to develop. That I think they're in a really good situation to whatever their needs are. I'm guessing they won't be a lot of them. They'll maybe be two big ones.
Yeah.
That they can go deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so
They've set themselves up well that way.
Now I see Robert Spillane out there.
Oh, good.
Okay, so he is still.
I don't know where he was at.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe to go potty. I don't know. So we got a skeleton drill here. We got a 7-on-7, basically. Just no linemen.
Yeah.
That's a pretty full group of defenders out there.
Absolutely.
Claypool out of the slot.
Yeah, Claypool.
Going down low to get it.
We've seen a lot of the Claypool out of the slot stuff.
Yeah, that's very real.
Almost like they listen to the show.
Or we have a clue we're talking
calling
about.
Calling for
right,
that
right.
last year.
Exactly, you know? Right. I don't know how many times you've been asked, but I had asked a ton. You know, boy, they got three good receivers, but none of them are slots. How's that going to line up? I'm like, Claypool's going to be a slot.
Yeah, it's
different than what people think of slot receivers.
You know, you think, well, the little guy's going to be in the slot. Well, that's not the way football is played today.
Not as much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a place for them, but they're getting phased out more and more, the Welkers of the world. They're just because they're little, you know?
Yeah, you want those guys coming over the middle like
yep.
that.
And the league's all about big plays. I mean, you talk to any coach, they'll talk about explosives. We got to create explosives. We got to eliminate explosives. Well, if you have a big, long, striding, deep threat in the slot, that's another way to create explosives.
Yeah, because most of the defensive backs he's going to work against in the slot are going to be 5'10 or shorter.
Right. I mean, with all respect to Hilton and Millett and guys we really like, I don't want them guarding Claypool on a go route out of the slot. Right. And if he can block and if he's going to do the dirty work in there, his career will take a spike.
Absolutely. I think he can be. You
get some cheap throws there, too.
Yeah. I just think this offense could be pretty special in terms of taking a big jump this year from what it was.
I do think it'll be better than last
year.
I mean, I would took a shot there on the outside, didn't quite connect, but had the one-on-one.
Keller Weatherspoon going, hey, he's pushing off. Yeah. Can't push off like that.
Pickens is a little physical through
the
route.
He is physical, yeah.
Yep, he is not bashful.
I wonder if that's going to be an issue for him during the season.
I hope he doesn't get a reputation and refs start calling that stuff a lot on him.
Yeah.
Because he's a little borderline with it.
Yes, he is. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from St. Vincent College here in beautiful Latrobe, Pennsylvania. It is beautiful today. It's a great day.
Oh, it's fantastic out here.
Yeah.
Looks like they've cleared the fans from the field, so they're coming to a conclusion.
This is the penultimate drill here again. We'll see how Mike Tomlin closes out this
practice. Ooh, nice
throw. Yeah, really.
Tendis drilled
that one in there.
That was nice.
Yeah, stuck that one right in between about three defenders to George Pickens.
Pickens for a touchdown. That was a nice throw.
We will take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.